Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to take just a little bit longer this time. I always like to, you know, give talk portraits of women combat veterans and their feelings. And, of course, I'm bringing up a subject that most of us don't like to talk about, but I'm a nurse and I'm a female, and I deal with these issues, I think, better than males do. Sorry to be discriminatory about that. But it's, you know, changing the culture of a male-dominated, change-resistant military that has for years tolerated sexism and sexist behavior is really proving to be a challenging task. And I know that we passed a resolution before to ask the military to please address the outrage of sexual misconduct in the military. And some of the women are starting to lose confidence in this. And so only reason I'm bringing this up here is because we just have to keep it on the forefront. I think it's important for us to know that there were 26,000 military members that were sexually assaulted last year. But we also have to remember that there's 1.4 million people in the service. And so it is a very small percentage of that. But and the reason I'm bringing it up today is, of course, you've heard about the Army Sergeant First Class at Fort Ord, Texas, who had sexual misconduct with three women and was actually prostituting one of them. And so I wanted to read to you one, and if I have time, maybe two, of what the women are saying, being in the military, and they love the military. This is First Sergeant Shirley Wright, U.S. Army. She said, when I was in Desert Storm, I was in a big warehouse full of infantry men. There were only three females, and we were attached to this infantry unit as their support. Well, they weren't used to females being with them in the military. We're sleeping cot to cot to cot. We're not separated. That didn't bother me, this sergeant, because, you know, the guys in my unit learned from me personally that just because I'm a woman doesn't mean you disrespect me. You treat me as a soldier when I'm in this uniform. You have no right to force me into anything that I don't want to do. And I was very, very strong, adamant. I stood my ground. That's one thing with a lot of females who come in. I always try to let them know, look, the guys are going to say stuff because they're going to try you, but you have to stand your ground. You have to be the one to say yay or nay. If you let them manage you, they're going to keep doing it. And for a woman to be in the military, you have to stand your ground. No, I'm not a piece of meat for you to have whenever you please. I'm a soldier, I deserve that respect, and I still deserve respect as a woman. If you don't do that and give in, of course, you get labeled some not very nice titles. There were actually times when I tried to handle it on my own, and some people just didn't have a clue. And that's how I learned. I used to be very quiet and just tolerate it. But you can't do that and focus on your work. You really can't. I had a squad leader who actually propositioned me in my room when he was supposed to be inspecting my room. And it was kind of scary because he shut my door and he locked it and he turned off my light. And he's like, I've been waiting for this. And I was like, look, Sergeant, you need to leave right now. And it's like, well, nobody has to know. And I was like, I have a conscience, and I'm not that kind of person. You need to leave right now. I opened the door and said, you need to leave. If you don't leave, I will scream. And he just stood there. So I actually started counting. And each time I counted, I went up higher, and my voice got louder. He left me alone after that, but he could never look me in the face. And I have to still remind everyone, this is a small number of all of our wonderful military men, but I just wanted to share that and put that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. We appreciate that. I did send a comment on several of those things to the committee members and suggested that some actions against some of the general officers that have recently been caught might be appropriate. It might resolve it because leadership starts at the top. Colleagues, we're going to actually start with House Bill 3494, because we have several colleagues from the other chamber. For members of the public who are out there, we're going to carry House Bill 2037A over. One of the enabling clauses in there, this is a teacher's bill, and the enabling clause is under the Oregon Health Authority, and so we're not sure why it's there, and we're going to check on that between now and next week and come back to 2037A next week. With that, I'm going to go ahead and open a public hearing on House Bill 3494. Gentlemen, if you want to make your way up. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3494 directs the Department of Transportation to erect and maintain a roadside memorial sign for Tyrone Woods on Oregon Route 213 near Milepost 2. We've also now received a Dash 1 amendment. The proponents and Ms. Bennett were receptive to adding a young man's name, Adam Byes, who had difficulty fitting into another bill. The committee will recall House Bill 2708 had a relating clause that was too narrow. So it doesn't alter the underlying bill, and it's been added to this bill.
Gentlemen.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Vice Chair Monis Anderson, President Courtney, and, of course, my own, Senator Olson. I'm Brent Barton. I represent Oregon House District 40, and I'd like to thank you for hearing this bill today. This bill will direct ODOT to erect and maintain a roadside memorial sign honoring an Oregon City hero, Mr. Tyrone Woods. It's funny, as I've worked on this bill and gotten to know his family through this process, I've never actually met Ty myself. I feel like I've gotten to know him in a funny way. And just by way of a bit of background, he was born here in Oregon. He graduated from Oregon City High School in 1989. He was a star wrestler, and he was offered a wrestling scholarship at Clackamas Community College there at home, which is something of a wrestling powerhouse. That was a big deal, and he decided he wanted to see the world and serve his country, so he joined the Navy. And he became a Navy SEAL, and I don't need to tell you what that means. And he really was a source of pride for Oregon City. A lot of people knew him, and even more knew of him. And for a lot of people in Oregon City High School, knowing that this Navy SEAL, it was produced out of Oregon City, it was a big deal. He served with distinction on multiple tours in Somalia, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and among other places that he couldn't talk about. Ty was killed in September 12, 2012, in the terrorist attack in Benghazi in Libya. At the time, he was serving as a private contractor on behalf of the CIA. And I've gotten to know, if I may, I'm going to go off script a bit, and I'd like to tell you a bit about the woman next to me, Tyrone's mother. She's really, I cannot imagine what it would be like to lose a child, to lose a son in combat this way to a terrorist attack. I think there are very few of us, hopefully no one in the sound of my voice, but few of us can know really what that's like. And I think fewer still can imagine what it was like to have that in kind of the context, unfortunately politically, in which that happened. There have been many attempts from both sides of the aisle to kind of politicize the what happened in Benghazi. And she's been contacted repeatedly by national media, unfortunately, just recently again. And I for one, would like to just applaud the grace with which she's handled it. She has not wanted to politicize the death of her son. Her son was a soldier, first and foremost, serving this country. And it's a difficult thing to handle, and I don't think she could have done it any better. And I like to think that here in Oregon, we can do this and give her son the respect he deserves, a bipartisan measure supported by everyone. Here you have a Republican and a Democrat from the House who represent this community. And anyway, again, thank you for your time. And if I may briefly, to the Dash 1, as I knew she would, to the extent that this vehicle can be used to honor other deserving soldiers, it's a privilege.
Great. Thank you. For the record, Bill Kenimer, State Representative, District 39. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for giving us a few moments to talk about this important matter. The Dash 1 amendments are great. I think it's a wonderful thing that we're going to put a sign 2 miles up the hill for Tyrone Woods. And these flowers will not wilt. They'll stay beautiful, and it'll be a sign that will help us all remember this special sacrifice. I thought that today I'd just give you four quotes that I think talk about a man that was extraordinary, someone who, frankly, I didn't have the privilege of knowing, but I think they talk about his character and the reason that we would want to do this. The first one is, Tyrone Woods was a stellar SEAL who thrived on adrenaline and excitement and danger, said his mother. It's nice to have his mother, Cheryl Bennett, with us. Another one is, I remember he told me, Mom, you know what? I'm not just going to be another barnacle scraper. I'm trying out for the Navy SEALs. And then a third one. This comes from the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. She says, he had the hands of a healer as well as the arms of a warrior, earning distinction as a registered nurse and certified paramedic. And then finally, as I was preparing to do my comments on the floor of the House, I was talking to Cheryl about him, and she said something very special. She said something, she said, may we all have the good fortune to do as he did, doing the right thing at the right time. Doing the right thing at the right time. Cost him his life. He gave his life for us. So very grateful for his service, and I think it's appropriate that we honor him and look forward to hearing from his mother.
My name is Cheryl Croft Bennett, and I have the honor of being Tyrone Snowden Woods' mother. And I'm going to keep my comments very short. It's appropriate that there will be a roadside memorial sign for Tyrone. As Representative Kenmer quoted me, Ty loves speed. Speed was his middle name. And one of his high school buddies put on Facebook that having that roadside memorial sign there on the Trails End Highway will be particularly significant because of the many, many times that Kirk and Tyrone blew up that freeway. I'm sure I wouldn't be telling a fib if I said probably exceeding the speed limit. So I'm hoping it doesn't inspire others when they see his name to put the pedal to the metal. But this is especially meaningful and significant. And to honor my son in this special way, his family, we are very appreciative. And if Tyrone could be here today, first of all, I think that he would just be saying, why are they doing that? Because I just did my job. I just did my job. That's what I was supposed to do. And so I just say thank you. Please accept the gratitude of Tyrone's maternal family for this honor that you are doing a Native son. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam. And we appreciate your testimony. And for the record, I don't know any SEALs that don't love speed.
I think goes with their character.
That's right. It goes with their character, and I think virtually every one of these SEAL teams that's listed on here served under me, or I served with them at one particular time or the other.
And, oh my goodness!
And so I'm very familiar with that attitude, and that can-do attitude, that selfless, quiet professional.
Yeah.
So thank you. That's it. Any questions?
Just thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm honored to be able to pass this legislation to honor your son. So
thank you.
Again, we thank you. We have about four or five other individuals, and Madam, so you know, we hear bills 1 week here in the Senate, and then we pass them the next week. So it'll be scheduled for a work session next week. Thank you very much. I think I have General Kurtloop, Jerry Howard. If you want to come up, you're listed to testify on this bill, if that's correct.
Well, good afternoon, Chairman Boquist and honored senators. My name is Jerry Howard. I live in Kaiser. I am with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes professional baseball team. We are an affiliate of the, I always get to say now, 2010 and 2012 World Series champion San Francisco Giants. And this will be our 17th year in Kaiser. I would like to speak to you briefly on a couple of things. One is the history of our patriotic tribute. I know that you have materials that I dropped off to Ms. Ross there and that. 6 years ago...
Mr. Howard, we're going to come back to the informational portion for the volcanoes. I know you want to address the issue of this bill first, though, right?
Oh, yes, sir. I can do that.
We'll have you up twice.
Okay. Sorry about that. I misunderstood. I heard about Cyril Woods passing, and I was able, through a lot of research, to locate his mother, Cheryl. That was a pretty touchy phone call the first time, as you can imagine, that someone out of the blue is calling her to thank, honor, and salute her son at a special patriotic tribute. I was then able to arrange a meeting with Cheryl, and we began the process, which started about 5 months ago. And on July the 3rd, we have a very special formal ceremony at Volcano Stadium for Cyril Woods. We have many, many dignitaries coming. We have some U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen coming in for that also. It is going to be extremely special. It's a highlight of that day. We also will feature not only Tyrone's ceremony, but many, many others from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the Mideast. I think one thing that's very important in honoring Tyrone with this roadside memorial is, they didn't mention, but to me it's incredible, Tyrone had to go through Hell Week twice. And if any of you know about Navy SEAL Hell Week, that's what it is. And he got injured right before graduating the first week, and he had to repeat the whole process. So Tyrone Woods is an Oregon hero. He is very special. He saved 25 lives before that mortar perished him on that day on between September 11th and September 12th. And I would just like to ask that you folks give a unanimous vote to approve this. I think if anyone is deserving, that Tyrone Woods is. With that dash one, it's sort of a... I didn't realize the Bias family was going to be here today. And last year, our Fallen Warrior ceremony was for their son. And he was very, very special, Marine Bias. And it was just ironic that they're here today and attached as part of this bill. So we enjoyed having their family yesterday. I ask your support for this highway memorial. Thank you, and thank you for your time, sir.
Cheryl? My name is Kurt Loop, and I live in Tigard, Oregon. I'm retired Army. For several years, it's hard to separate Jerry from his memorial tribute and the memorial because he combines them all in one. He's done this for about 6 years, and each year it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger, and better. And in each one, there is a memorial tribute to a fallen soldier, and it'll be either Iraq, Afghanistan, and this year will be Tyrone Woods. These are the people who they're very... Madam, you mentioned how small the military is in relationship to the people that it defends, and these are the few of those many that actually are called upon to give the full measure. Tyrone was, you've heard about his exploits and his accomplishments and his extremely, his integrity and character, and I cannot add to that. This will be a fitting tribute to him for a short period of time, but a lasting memorial will be to the memorial on right off exit 10 on 205 going up to Clackamas Community College to honor him and his achievements, and especially this notable and very public issue of the Benghazi raid. I would also ask your support. Won't waste any more of your time, but I think it's a very fitting cause for Navy SEAL Tyrone Wood, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Carol Newton, Adam Vies, and Don Palmer. If you would, please.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
My name is Carol Newton. My grandson, Adam Byes, I'm sorry, I'm still emotional.
All right, got time.
He was killed in Afghanistan in November of 2011. If his parents could be here today, they would. They are in Florida, and it's job-related, so they just couldn't get here. I thank you for allowing me to say anything at all and to be here. Adam, of course, being his grandmother, I think he was the greatest kid in the world. lots of special memories. He was the one of all my grandchildren that never had to be told, check on your grandmother. Give your grandmother a hug. Don't forget your grandmother for Christmas. See if your grandmother needs help. Never had to be told. He was always there. He was a very compassionate young man. Cared very deeply about everything he ever did. He loved the Marines. I know that. I unfortunately can't tell you about all the things he did in the Marines because as his grandmother, I didn't want to know. It scared me. My father was in the military. I was raised in the military, and I didn't want to know. I just prayed every day that he was happy. I knew he was doing what he wanted to do, what he believed in, and I just prayed he came home safe. Well, he came home, and I'm grateful for that, at least. I would like to, if it's all right, just read this short little paragraph that my son wrote to in an email. I believe it involved Mr. Courtney, Senator Courtney. But if I could just read it, just, okay. Senator Courtney attended Adam's service in Salem and presented the large flag from the Capitol. I am asking for an amendment to the bill. Our family would like to honor our son, Adam Joseph Byes, and place two road signs located on Highway 22 at milepost 20. One going each direction. This area is well traveled by all of his family and friends, as well as the community that showed so much support for our family during the darkest time in our life. It is also located in front of Restlawn, where our son Adam is buried, making this a perfect location for many reasons. When Adam was killed, and the 6 months following were really tremendous. His parents were not even in Salem at the time. They were actually in Florida at the same job. So getting them home, getting Adam home, getting all the family together, it was just a tremendous thing to do. The entire city of Salem, the entire city, the entire state of Oregon was so supportive and so kind to us everywhere we went. Even the picture department at Walmart, I can't begin to tell you how great people were and how appreciative. And we all know freedom isn't free. It comes at a very high price, which millions of us are paying. And I think that, in my opinion, a little support, a little thank you is well deserved for all these people that we are losing to fight for our freedom. He fought for me. He fought for all of us. And he gave his best. And I have my son has the sign he wanted me to show, and as to what the sign would look like for an approval. Excuse me. And I have a picture of my baby. Yeah. And he was a baby. He was 21. So I just, like I said, I didn't plan anything to say. I appreciate you listening to me. His loss has devastated our family, of course. And I know that he just pushed forward with everything he did, everything that was offered to him to do in the Marines. He said, yes, I'll go forward. I'll do that, whatever it is. And I know he had a lot of good friends in the Marines, and I know he cut all their hair. But I don't, like I say, as a grandma, I didn't want to know the day-to-day stuff. It just worried me too much. Thank you so much for listening about my special grandchild. Thank you.
Thank you, madam. Sir?
Thanks to the committee for considering this amendment, and my name's Don Palmer, and I'm here to represent Mike and Carla Byes on their behalf. I'm an old family friend, and I watched Adam Byes grow up, become an extremely wise man for his age, and I watched the pain that they had to endure when we lost him. First, I'd like to say that we're asking for this amendment because Adam grew up here, his roots were here and his family's, and he's well known to the community. And because of the extremely high level of community support, we felt that it would be a great reminder for this local community. And I don't have a script. I just wanted to put in my thanks on their behalf for considering this amendment and to let you know that even though Memorial Day is coming up, which makes this all the more timely, it's something that the Bice family, I've watched them deal with every day since. And I thank you again for your consideration.
As a grandma, you know, I just get tears in my eyes when I heard your testimony. Sorry, I'm gonna get sad too here, but thank you so much.
Thank you very
much. It's just such a loss, but we can be so proud of him.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
No, we're not.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to suspend the rules.
I don't think we have all the paperwork, so we need to wait. We appreciate your testimony, and again, once we get all the paperwork catches up at this time of session, we'll be doing the amendment at a work session next week, and then we'll be moving the bill on out to the floor. So appreciate that. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on this bill? Well, and thank you. And seeing that, I'm going to close. Come on. All right. Come on up, Ralph. We'll let you testify.
For the record, not ask me on this one. Ralph Groner, citizen of Oregon City. I'd just like to add a couple things. Tyrone was my son's wrestling partner on the wrestling team. Chris, if he were asked to testify, I don't think he could do it. I've heard so many stories, tough stories. And then I thought about, my God, it's hit me three times. My brother-in-law gets bombed out in Bangladesh and carried people out on a helicopter. They made a movie. It's about his escape. My sister escaped. I was awarded through John Kennedy in Congress the Airman's Medal for Bravery, which is the highest honor during peacetime. And now my son's dearest friend is honored. And what I've learned, what he really did, 30 people lived because of Tyrone. When he escorted them to safety, and quite frankly, I think of my past and my family's past, and if he hadn't been retired SEALs, posthumously he should be up for the Medal of Honor. I am really sorry, I'm upset about that, because here's a hero who really hasn't been reported the whole story. And when I find out the whole story, I went, my God, I got a medal for saving some people in a lake. This person gets a thank you, and wonderful what you're doing for saving. It could have been 34 killed. Tyrone gave his own life to save many others, and quite frankly, the award that you're being discussed here, in my mind, should also be an award by the military posthumously, and I know you'll tell me that's impossible because I know you're an officer and I was just a little airman, but how I feel is what I feel, because he's an American hero, not just Oregon City, not just the state of Oregon. He's an American hero, and when the story is really told, they should be filming a story about this. So I want you to know I feel very strongly. My son is his dear friend. Heartbroken over all this. They wrestled together. I think Tyrone could beat the living you-know-what out of Chris, but Chris is still his friend. And I appreciate the people of Step 4, and I appreciate you knowing that he's a far greater hero than has been explained. And quite frankly, I'd hope you'd ask the military for some higher, even though he's no longer military, he spent his time. And there ought to be an award for people who saved public servants in an embassy's lives much higher. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. And I think SEALs and Marines and soldiers know nothing is impossible. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3494, and we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2083A. Council and General Caldwell and Mr. Wolf, if you'll come up, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2083A allows active service members to suspend or terminate telecommunication services, internet services, television services, health spa memberships, health club exercise, athletic activities via written notice to the service providers. It requires the service member to provide proof of official orders showing active status with written notice of suspension or termination. It permits the proof of active status to be provided within 90 days of written notice if delay is prompted by military necessity or other reasonable circumstances. It makes suspension or termination effective upon the day written notice is given, authorizes service members to reinstate, suspend, or terminate, reinstate suspended or terminated services on the same terms and conditions with written notice to the provider within 90 days of termination of active status, requires the providers to reinstate the service or a substantially similar service within 30 days of receipt of their notice, and it prohibits providers from charging for the terminations, fees for termination, suspension, or reinstatement. It also relieves service members from the liability for payment during the period of suspension. Came off of the House floor and out of House committee with a unanimous vote.
Gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Military Department. We ask that this bill be filed, as you can see by the bill, pre-session filed. We learned over the last several years that we've had some issues predominantly, and I want to make this real clear, with the health spa services, exercise or athletic clubs, and those types of organizations. We've had not a lot or hardly of any of the major carriers in the telecommunication business. They've treated our soldiers and all soldiers extremely well. We worked with the industry in the House to correct some language to make sure that that was part of this, so we didn't put encumbrances upon them that they didn't deserve. But clearly this has been an issue with some of these other non-big corporate organizations in the health club industry. Most often, as you well know, our soldiers, they leave families and spouses back here in Oregon, and so it's not a large population. It's a fairly small, but then, of course, they're usually younger, and they're less able to take care of their own things as appropriately as they should. And then we found these guys would be in country and all of a sudden getting huge bills for things that they, you know, they couldn't do because they're clear across half the world. So when we saw that, we had numerous reports of it, and again with a very specific kind of industry, we asked this bill be put together, and we just put it all in, and I'll turn it over. And
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brant Wolf representing the Oregon Telecommunications Association. The bill comes to you in an engrossed version due to some issues we have with language in the bill. We worked with the military department, as the general indicated, and their issues were resolved satisfactorily, and we no longer have any issues or objections to this bill, and we are supportive of it.
I have a question. So if they forget to turn on, you know, forget to suspend their cable or internet or whatever, what happens there? The servicemen would have to notify this bill. They would have to notify, hey, I'm taking off, and then they would be required to suspend.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Anderson, that's correct. It leaves the onus on the individual, on the soldier. It doesn't give them carte blanche. They have to take some positive steps. As we mobilize our folks, we have, you know, extensive briefings, and this would be part of that if this passes this body. So they would know exactly where they fit in the circumstances. And again, what had occurred in some instances that they tried to do that, and they were told, no, you can't. You signed a one-year contract at the health club, and you're going to pay this. We don't care if you're deployed or not, which is really what, and the soldier had no idea at the time when they signed the contract they may be deployed. So that was really, this is kind of a fix in that instance, as opposed to saying, well, sorry, bud, you're just going to serve in Iraq for a year and or Afghanistan for a year, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to pay that health club charge, and you can't use the services. So that's really the essence of it.
Thank you.
Carol's a question?
No.
Go for it. Thank you, gentlemen. Is
Thank
there
you.
Anybody else that wants to testify on House Bill 2083A? If not, we're going to close the public hearing on this. It'll be scheduled for a work session next week. Jerry, if you want to come up, and now, look at these protocol things, you know how you do things. We're going to have a quick informational briefing on the Volcanoes baseball team and their sixth annual tribute to soldiers, if you would, please.
Thank you again, Chairman and Senators. Appreciate you having me this afternoon. For the record, again, I'm Jerry Howard. I'm with the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes. I live in Keizer. 6 years ago, I asked our owner, Jerry Walker, if I may begin a patriotic tribute on the 4th of July as an Air Force veteran. I wanted to take on that project. And he granted me full license to go full speed ahead. I laugh now. I think I may have left a chronological history with your materials there. But our very first year, we had 4 Oregon National Guard soldiers only. That's all we had that we had just gotten back from Iraq. We took them out on the field, read their bios, and they got a standing ovation from 5,000 people for probably 4 minutes. And I thought to myself, you know, we might have something here. The next year it grew and grew, and over the years it has grown immensely. There are many people that now say it's probably one of the finest patriotic tributes in the nation. It grew so much that it went from a one-day event the first couple of years to a 3-day event now. Unfortunately, the volcanoes are on the road July 4th, General Loop told me 3 years ago when this happened, he said, you know, when one door closes, one opens, Jerry. Here's your chance to make it a bigger patriotic tribute. And so we take that and we run with it. This year will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, July 1, 2, 3. Last year we thanked, honored, and saluted. That's the 3 words we use over and over and over. 93 men and women on the field from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the Mideast. I love our cross-section that we have developed. We have the men and the women, and we have the old and the young. We have the officers and the enlisted. We have high-level commanders to E2 cooks. We have deployed and non-deployed, and we have battle-tested and non-battle-tested. We have warriors of color and many nationalities. We have wounded warriors, and we have families of fallen warriors every year. We do the tribute like we did for Corporal Bias last year, and we will do for Navy SEAL Woods this year. We have approximately 35 to 40 military organizations with a table on the concourse so that they can reach out to the military families and explain what services they offer to those families. We have an organization in town that rings our entire stadium with 176 American flags. We have all kinds of guests that come. Last year we had 10 military people from Kingsley and Klamath Falls make the drive all the way to Kaiser to be thanked, honored, and saluted. That's a long round trip. We had 7 from Tacoma up there from McCord come down. That's a long trip. This year, we were approached by a Dr. Bridget Cantrell, one of the world's most noted authorities on PTSD. The Army has contracted her to go to Afghanistan, Iraq, Italy, and speak to the troops. When the Major shot the soldiers a few years ago at Fort Hood, the Army contracted her to go there. She's written 5 books. She's going to be here all 3 days, coming on her own dime. I got a call from a doctor in West Virginia. He's a history professor. He found out about us, and he called me and said, would you mind if I come out? I told him I didn't have a budget. He said, I'm coming on my own dime. And he gives the history of the national anthem. That'll be on Tuesday the 2nd. He feels that so many of our young people do not know what the national anthem is, what the words are. How many people have you heard that foul up the words of the national anthem? They don't know where it was written, why it was written, who wrote it. He also does reenactments of Patrick Henry and Nathan Hale, Paul Revere, so that's going to be a great day. This year for Tyrone's thing, we were able to get a hold and confirm all units in Oregon of the U.S. Naval cadets, sea cadets. They were lying first base during the ceremony. We have many Cub Scout, Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts that will line the third base dugout. The Oregon State Defense Force Bagpipe Band will lead off the procession for Tyrone, marching to home plate, piping Amazing Grace. And then we will have the toast to the fallen warrior with the table, the empty plate, the glass upside down, the empty chair, because that fallen warrior could not join us for the toast. We will have Tyrone's family escorted to home plate. We'll have the top level commander of each branch out there that day. We will have Tyrone's bio read at home plate. Then we'll have a moment of silence for all missing and fallen warriors. And then we'll have a 21-gun salute, and then we'll have taps by Captain Dave Parker, a three-time wounded warrior in Vietnam who was a paraplegic. And so we incorporate everyone into this. It's an outstanding day. And it's not about me. I coordinate it. I always say, General Luke gives me kudos on this, but I always say, it's not me. It's all the men and women, all the heroes, all the veterans. Our oldest, 2 years ago, 104 years old, was there. He joined the Navy in 1925 and he retired in 1955. So it's all those people who say, yes, yes, Jerry, my family and I will be there. We would be proud to be there. Because if they did not say yes, we would not have a patriotic tribute. I hope that you're able to come. I invite each one of you to come, to get involved July 1, 2, or 3, whatever may fit your schedule. If you get a hold of me, we have been cleared by the Oregon Ethics Commission to provide you and your family with box seats. And I just wish that we could get each and every one of you there. If you want to be part of a Tyrone ceremony, that's going to be a big, big day. Even, I forgot, the Oregon State University Navy ROTC Color Guard has confirmed. They said they will be there to present the colors. I did have my approved at 15 flyover. I got sequestered, and that was going to be that day. And I did have my approved special ops paratroopers bringing the flag and the game ball in from up above, but we lost that also. So we don't cry. We go forward. We do with what we get. We're very, very thankful for everything we get, and we march on. You know, I always tell the story, and I'll close this. I steal the famous line from the movie Field of Dreams when they said, if you build it, they will come. And I change that just a little bit, and I say, when we earn it, they will come. Meaning the veterans, the fans. One of these days we're going to get people from Washington and the Pentagon here. I know we are. The patriotic tribute has been on a glide path like this, and it won't end until the good Lord takes me home, or the other guy. Anyway, thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much. It's an honor to be here. I'm born and raised in Cottage Grove. I'm native Oregonian, and I never ever thought a little old country kid from Cottage Grove would be testifying in these hallowed halls. Thank you very much.
Daryl? My name is Kurt Loop. I still live in Tigard, Oregon. So let me add just a little bit. I can't expand on what Jerry said. He did say a couple things. He reiterated what was going to go on before the game, and that he had 93 people there. This is not just a momentary thing where he said, you know, this is one of the biggest events we've got in the West Coast. Well, I was thinking if you were in one of the major cities, you know, they ask all the veterans to stand up. You get a round of applause. You sit down, eat your popcorn and hot dog, and watch the game. Jerry expands that to the entire game. He'll introduce some people, have all the activities before the game. Then in between each inning, half inning, three outs, two to three people are introduced on the first base side and the third base side by the bases. They come out. He reads a short bio on each individual. If they've sent in a photograph, it's up on the Jumbotron, and those four to six people are honored. Next inning, same thing, and this goes on the entire evening. He will pick a service, a battle, an era, and honor that during the memorial series. He's at Vietnam. Last year was the Native American veterans, and he expounds a little bit. He has people read the history of their contribution to the national defense. So it's not just a one-time shot, get up, sit down, and you're done. This is a full evening of respect, in which he thanks, honors, and salutes the veterans of this great country. That concludes my comments. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions? No, and we thank you and honor you and salute you for doing this for our veterans. We greatly appreciate it. There's some of them, it's the only thanks that they do get, as you well know, because some of them came home without thanks. And it's time that we do that. So we appreciate both your works, and we appreciate all the work from the families. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One final thing. I forgot to say there is a game. We'll be playing the Boise Hawks, which is part of the Chicago Cubs, and afterwards a very extensive fireworks show. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, colleagues, we're going to carry over 2037A to next week. There is some work still being done on the tuition bill, and you should expect to see amendment in the next couple of days, and we'll circulate it around. With that, if there's no more business, then the Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness was done for the day.